B2, number 19B.
And so the same thing is, we can take spirit and can see that principle is its own infinite spirit. You see, I don't use any idea. I only use synonymous terms. Because we have seen up on this level, do you remember, the keynote is just the synonymous term on the level of science. And so we rest only in the tone of the synonymous term. That principle is its own infinite spirit. Therefore it excludes the question or the belief or the fear of anything. It's completely unknown that there are other spirits, that there are evil spirits, that there are foreign spirits, that there are tragic spirits, that there are and so on and so on. That there is anything else moving than the one spirit. And we get the sense that principle is its own infinite spirit, therefore principle is its own infinite fact of unfoldment, its own infinite motivation fact of unfoldment. And so we can go through then that principle is its own infinite soul. There exists no identity except that which principle is itself. Principle is its own infinite soul. There doesn't exist an identity which is therefore diseased, an identity which is deflected, which is injured, anything like that. Principle is its own infinite soul, therefore principle is that which maintains its own identity, maintains its own being, maintains what it is itself throughout all space and time. And that frees us naturally from thinking that there could be other false or other identities, false identities, erroneous identities, diseased identities, and so on and so on. And can you see that in this way we can go through those terms and make you a wonderful treatment, give you a wonderful treatment. I would say the highest treatment nearly what we can give to us. And so my advice to you is take from time to time half an hour where you're all quiet and just think that the whole of being has been the oneness of being, that the whole of being, that this is infinite one. There is nothing ever going on, but principle being its own infinite mind, its own infinite spirit, its own infinite soul, its own infinite principle. So it is absolutely unknown at that point that another principle is going on, that another organization is going on, another system is going on, another science is going on. All that is excluded because principle is its own infinite principle. It is its own infinite life. I don't ask about any other sense of life because I see the only life there is the infinite life which principle has itself. Principle's own infinite life. Principle's own infinite truth. And principle's own infinite love. This is something which I nearly would make a great bet with any one of you that if he sits down for half an hour or an hour and just stays with that he feels quite a different man. Quite a different man. Because at this level of science, it takes off your shoulders the whole material world. The whole world of mentality, because principle is its own infinite mind, takes away from our shoulders the whole world of matter, because principle is its own infinite spirit, which does not know matter. Takes away from us the whole world of sense testimony of sin and subtlety and manimal magnetism, etc., because soul is its, the principle is its own soul. and does not know any subtlety. And so principle is its own principle, takes away from us the whole burden that there is a false government going on in the world, in the nation, in a factory, in a business, in a family, in the body, and so on. All those false governments are just not known. They don't enter. Because on the level of science, evil is unknown, does not enter our reasoning. And so principle is its own infinite light, and takes away from us the whole burden of a universe of birth, maturity, decay, death, after death, before birth, and so on. The whole thing is taken away, because it doesn't ask those questions anymore. It is not interested in those questions. Where have I been before birth? How did I come into being? What is my life for? What is death? What is after death? Where am I going after death? All these questions are completely wiped out here because we do not ask them. And our consciousness is at the point of seeing that principle is its own infinite life. We only think about an infinite life. Without beginning, without ending, without time, without space, just infinite life. And so the whole world of false consciousness, of subconsciousness, of archetypal consciousness, collective consciousness, of individual consciousness, of subconsciousness, of irritated consciousness, taken right away from us when we see that principle is its own infinite truth. Because there, principle is conscious of itself because it's truth, and therefore all the other questions of the world about consciousness just don't enter. And so the world of hate and jealousy and so on, fear, is taken away from us because love is its own principle is its own infinite love. And we do not ask any question. We have not even a concept. Could there be hate? Could there be jealousy? Could there be this and that and the other? We just stay and rest in that consciousness, that principle is its own infinite love. What do we want more? See, what do we want more? That's a last question we can put here. All right. Yeah?
Could you explain why we have mind, spirit, and soul in science? Because we don't have an absolute or divine. We left out mind, spirit, and soul.
Yeah.
Why? It comes in again.
Well, I did take principle through the 70 non-material term, you mean?
Yes, yes. Well, my mind, spirit, and soul.
Yeah, well, mind, spirit, soul will enter in every level, but not as a focal point. Because we can never exclude, so to say, one of the synonymous terms, but they have no focal point. And so I said, really, what the synonymous term which is actually here, the focal point, is principle. But because principle can never be cut away from the others, you see, we can enlarge on that principle and say, what is that principle? Or it just remains a concept, a term. Thank you. So, that's science. Now, we come to divine science, the next level. And the moment we come to divine science, you see, we have seen this morning, that the moment when we come from the top, from the infinite one, down, that the infinite one begins to diversify itself in order to be able to explain itself more and more. Mrs. Eddy speaks of that fourfold unity, Here in science we have that oneness, and the moment we come to divine science we have that fourfold oneness, namely as Word, Christ, Christianity and science. And so the moment we come to divine science, to the point of oneness, let's just remember that it's always oneness. Here we have the infinite one. Right, to oneness. The synonym which bring out this oneness is, namely, the divine ideal. In science, principle says, I am the infinite principle. All right. But reduced to the human sense, which asks what is the divine sense, because only the human sense asks after the divine. The infinite one doesn't know anything about the divine. He's just the infinite one. And the divine sense is that the human sense must be enlightened. And so we find here the oneness of one life in the world, Christ the one truth, Christianity the one love, and Mrs. Eddy says that Christ is divine principle love. What does it mean? Again, see, the moment we start out from the divine infinite principle, it said, but what is the divine nature of that principle? What is its divinity coming to humanity? And the divinity which it presents is principle's own great ideal. And Mrs. Eddy says, what is that ideal? She says, it's life, truth, and love. What is that ideal, she said? It's father, life, son, and mother. Life, truth, and love. And when she speaks about that, especially in the platform, that these three express the threefold essential nature of deity, that they are a trinity in unity, then she goes to explain that they are one in the divine principle love. So to say that life as the one father, truth as the one son, love as the one mother, are really the divine person, principle, the divine person, love. She uses always that combination of principle love when she comes to summarize the divine person of God, the divine ideal of God. This is life, truth, and love is the highest sense which the Bible gives. Now, Mrs. Eddy says that life, truth, and love, I don't know exactly what she says, is the highest term as the Bible gives them. And she put to that the science term, namely principle. So here we find, because it is on the level of divine science, and divine science means oneness, all these synonymous terms of life, truth, and love mean just that there is one life, one truth, one love, one principle love. See, not just life, not just truth, not just love, but because they are on that level of oneness, we certainly begin to realize that the nature of God is that it is one life, not many lives, one truth, one son, not many lives, one love, not many loves, but one mother. And combined that is the divine person, which he calls principal love, the Trinity as principal love. In our daily use of these synonymous terms, they are really very wonderful. See, at that point, we begin to realize that the world of divine science is the one life. Only one life, not many lives. It's here where she explains, really, that wonderful sense that the world in divine science, to the darkness, all is light, and that the infinite light enlightens the universe. It is that point where she says, light sees only light. But she says that life demonstrates only life capitalized, only itself. So that we begin to realize here, we do not have to demonstrate our life, do not have to demonstrate our life over death, but all likewise we have to demonstrate here is that there is one life, and acknowledge and accept that there is one life. Haven't we always said that God is life? But we never believed it. We know we never believed. We were never sincere about it. There's no question about it. We are never sincere about these statements. We say God is life, and we say there is only one life, but woe if a body loses its motion and is no more acting and is static, then all our tears come right down. Then the whole world seems to go down. Has life changed? Is there one life or isn't there one life? We don't believe in, we don't believe in these synonymous terms. That's the trouble with us. If we only would believe in these few capitalized terms, which open up to us the whole matrices and everything, the whole thing, we only would believe in 7 synonymous terms, and in 4 sides of the city, that's 11, and in 4 levels, that's 15 points. We only would have to believe in those 15 points. But we don't. So that's the trouble with us. We don't. If there is only one life, then we know there is only one life. Therefore, because it comes from the infinite one, this one life is infinite life. One infinite life. Therefore, why are we afraid that we can lose the life, that somebody has lost his life, that we may not have any more life, that life is not abundant? Why do we do that? We do that because we always, that is the end of the chart, we always fall beneath that chart. To the human standpoint, we give up the divine standpoint and drop below the chart and crawl around or underneath, just as a bird beneath the carpet and say, I'm no more there. If we don't rise beneath this chart, you see, then we have a wrong standpoint, a standpoint which is outside of infinitude. We have a human standpoint, and then from the human standpoint we have a beginning of life, a growth of life, an end of life, and the loss of life, and a hell of a life, and all that. So, can you see what divine signs want to say? Say, only have one standpoint. Oh, that's really science which says, have only one standpoint and never leave that standpoint. Go out from the one principle and from now on never leave it. Then from that throne of grace we can see divine signs that this infinite principle says, I am one infinite life. And says that for Christ, I am one truth. No, Amici said he always couples Christ with truth. Christ, truth. Christ, truth. That's this point here of divine science. As I said, in divine science, really, being has but one truth, one Christ. It shows that that being is truth. That one infinite life and being is the truth about everything. It's the only truth. The one truth. And we don't have to be worried about all the various little truths and untruths. Here we have that this one life, when we have accepted it, is the one truth. And in Christianity, we see that it is the one love. Can you see this bigness of the one love here? It is not love. Because it's on the level of divine science, is one love. Therefore, this has nothing to do with all those loves. Love God has nothing to do here. Those commandments to love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and so on, has nothing to do in here. Because that would mean that I can have a love towards God. Or that God loves us, has nothing to do here. because that would mean that there is a love which God has and has to go on to love something else. It is not, has nothing to do with loving your neighbors and so on. It's just so there is a state, there is a fact in being which says there's just love. And you don't need to be engaged in trying to love your neighbor, to love your enemies, to love God, and to hope that God loves me. See? This is not one love. This is dividing up principle and idea. And so, from the point of view of principle, principle only sees itself as one love. And actually that's a much, much higher sense of love which begins to establish itself in our consciousness, you know. The Christianity sense of the Bible was very wonderful and is still wonderful, but don't let forget, it's 2,000 years since then. And the world of today is not a world of 2,000 years ago. At that time, it was a terrific step forward. Instead of hating the enemies and make war on every occasion, whenever you could, and kick each other all over the tent and so on, whenever you could, see? It was a tremendous point to say, don't kick the other over in the tent. Love me. Love your enemies. Don't you say a kick in the pen? So at that time it was great to see. Well, at that time it was great to say, well, love God. Well, it was even the Old Testament, love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. That's the approach to it. But we are in a different age. And therefore, we are in an age where we should begin to realize what Mrs. Eddy has shown, that she said, there is just one love, capitalized. And therefore, because it's one love, it cannot be split up in loves, no matter how nice they are. No matter how nice they are. At this point, you can't. And actually, as we perhaps see later, that's the point where Mrs. Eddy was trying to teach us the healing, the real healing. Not with loving, but with love. Not even with realizing love, but with love. Because it is love, it's a point where you not even have to love it or to realize it. It is accepting that there is one love, and that's the universe. That's the whole universe. It gives you another sense of love. Not a city sense of love. Not the lovey-dovey sense of love. Not the love where you always have to smile when you say the word. Yes, you see, here you can sit in the dark all alone by yourself and think and feel. And feel that being is love. That being is such an integrated sense of being that everything fits together into the one. And that there is no friction in there. And no irritation in there, there's just integrated being. That's love. And so she comes to the divine in science, sums it up and says, well, this one father, one son, one mother is really the divine person in the Bible called God. Here we see it as divine principle love. Namely, as that principle which is its own infinite mind comes now down to the point of principle as love and says that principle which has operated here on the highest level of science and was its own infinite mind and spirit and soul of principle, life, truth and love has a great purpose in itself. It's divine. Actually, I should have put here divine principle love because she always puts here when she speaks about principle love, divine principle love. Because divine science, it's not just principle love really. It shows, well, what is that nature of that principle on the point of science, which seems to be perhaps a bit abstract. becomes tender on the level of divine science, that this has a great plane within itself. And so is really the answer to the present state of all the sciences which we have. Because all the sciences today which we have, they have no plane. They are neither integrated, they are always falling further and further apart, are always more and more specialized, and they are not integrated towards a great aim for humanity. Nobody who discovers anything in any science does it because there is a great aim in humanity. He just discovers it for the discovery's sake. You see, because the other sciences have no love in their principle. They have principles, but because their principle is not love, is not converging towards a great plane which blesses humanity, therefore their principle cannot be put with a capital P. There are principles which are blind to the future, they are blind of what they are going to do. They discover the atom and the atom bomb, they are completely blind what it will do to the world. But not so divine science. This one life, this one truth, and this one love have one aim and one great purpose towards which they move.